two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we are going to talk about how to protect your money from Medicaid and nursing homes. And joining me today is Les Robinson. He is the author of the book, Protecting Your Money from Medicaid and Nursing Homes. Welcome to the show, Les.
Thank you, Heather.
All right, now, part of what you do is teaching insurance. You're an insurance instructor at a college. First of all, I didn't know there was such a thing as insurance classes. And at this college, do you get a degree in insurance? What exactly are you teaching?
I'm teaching the licensing class for life and health in the state of New York. So let's say whatever state you're in, you decide that, hey, I want to be an insurance agent today. So you just can't go on the internet, fill out an application, and get a license. Okay.
Okay.
You have to go through, you have to study. In New York, it's 100 plus hours of studying. And then after you are done with 100 hours, you then have to take a test that is monitored in a state exam place. And you take the exam and you pass. Then you take your piece of paper to your insurance agency that you want to work for. And then you become licensed in that state.
Is this all types of insurance or only one specific? Because there's auto insurance and home insurance and, you know, all sorts. Like, is this just every type of insurance you could ever want to try to sell?
It's broken up into two groups. Doesn't matter if you got your life and health license on that side, and then you have your broker or independent or agent for property and casualty, which is your auto and homeowners insurance. Those two are your two areas.
And you said it's about 100 hours of coursework that you have
for the life and the health, and it's about 3 hours for the property and casualty.
How much would all that cost me if I went to your college?
It's about $300 for the life, and it's about $1,100 for the PNC class.
Well, thank you. That was just intrigued me when I saw that, because I actually didn't think about it and didn't realize, oh, insurance agents have to be licensed. It makes sense, but I never thought about it, really. So we actually want to talk about your book, which is Protecting Your Money from Medicaid and Nursing Homes. And why does my money need to be protected from these two things?
Very simple. Let's say tomorrow you end up going and need care. How are you, Heather, going to pay for your care, for home care, assisted living, nursing home? Doesn't matter, but you're going to need some type of long-term care event. How are you going to pay for it tomorrow?
Well, I have a significant savings, so I have that.
Okay. And then after you've disposed of all of that, what would be next?
Any insurance I do have, health insurance?
Health insurance may only cover you up to 100 days of skilled care, of custodial or home care. You'll have 0 day in about 65 days. And this is kind of, it's a little bit different for each state. If I'm just giving you the national average, right. It would be like 65 days for rehab in a rehab facility that your policy, your health insurance would cover. After that, it would come out of your own pocket.
Okay, well then I guess I have to move on to either Medicare or Medicaid.
Medicare will cover you for up to 100 days of skilled care and 65 of rehab and 0 for home care. And to be qualified for Medicaid, you would have to spend down to $2,000 in assets, $50 a month, and then Medicaid would start paying.
When you say spend down, what do you mean by that?
Let's say you had $700,000 in your investments and your assets. And your care would require you to spend down $698,000 of your money. So you have $2,000 in your checking account and you have $50 a month. So then when you have spent all of that down, that includes your house, your car, all of your assets, you would then fill out the Medicaid application that I have spent all my money down and I'm left with $2,000 and $50. And they're going to take, and let's say you had a pension and you were bringing in $6,000 a month. Medicaid would keep, let you keep the first 50 and then the next $5,950 would go for your care. And if there was any left back, you would get that money back. So that was in the assisted living or the nursing home. And the assisted living usually runs between $4,000 to $6,000 a month. And a nursing home I'm going with across the country runs between $8,000 to $15,000 a month.
If I only have $2,000 in my checking account, there's not much to protect to begin with. So why does this money need to be protected from Medicaid?
Because anything above $2,000, your state will take to pay for your care.
All right.
Okay. So let's take it to the next step. Let's say you are married. Okay. I'm going to do this in a two-step approach. You are married and you and your spouse have worked very hard to acquire a lot of money. And then the first one goes into the nursing home and depletes all of the resources. Whatever, I'm going with a broad umbrella on this, broad to go get the point across. And your spouse passes away and you are left with $2,000 in the bank and you are impoverished. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, that's number one. Number two, you have disposed of all of your resources. You are now at $2,000 of assets and you have $50 a month, but to stay in an assisted living or nursing home, by having personal hygiene items, paying for your TV, your phone, runs between $150 to $250 a month. Where is that money going to come from? So now you have to call your children up and they, and now they're going into their, they're in their part of 40 to 50 to 60, which they're getting ready to retire. You could cripple their retirement or your grandchildren's college because they are now paying an extra $3,000 to $5,000 a year annually for your care because you don't have enough money put aside or a plan set up to stay in an assisted living or nursing home for the extra costs that aren't covered by Medicare.
Wow. I didn't realize. Yeah. I did not realize
Medicaid,
it was that
Medicaid.
Complex. Yeah. And you have to only have $2,000 a month in order to qualify for Medicaid. I do want to talk about, so now that we understand why we need protection, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will go into how we get that protection. So we'll be right back with Les Robinson. He is the author of Protecting Your Money from Medicaid and Nursing Homes.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that if it affects your life in any way, money-wise, we're talking about it. And today we're talking about what happens if you are in a nursing home or you only have Medicaid left? You need to protect your money if you have a spouse or your spouse passed away or is in the nursing home. Joining me today is Les Robinson. He is the author of Protecting Your Money from Medicaid and Nursing Homes. Les, in the last segment, we explained why we need protection from Medicaid. Very quickly, why do we need that protection from a nursing home as well?
It's the home care, assisted living, nursing home. All of that you can apply for Medicaid, but you have to spend down your money to get that.
All right. So now that we understand why our money needs to be protected, how exactly do we go about doing that, especially if we have to be on Medicaid?
I made it real simple. I've been teaching classes for many years on this topic. And make a long story short is I started to keep track of what were the areas where people were losing their money and people were not losing their money. So it comes back to, I hate to say it, statistics and math. You know how they say math will save your life? Well, once again, math statistics has played the entry level to this. So I started keeping track of what was working, what wasn't working. Kind of did like a bell curve and the means and the modes and all that. And I did this for a couple of years, and I kept watching things. And I saw what the areas were popping up. And I said, well, these must be your big areas. Once I figured out what the big areas were, then I changed the class format a little, and I started watching the class. And I noticed that once I talked about these, everybody was like, oh, I understand that. So I was looking at some of the five worst ways that would devastate a person's finances. What I do is I call it stress testing your retirement. And I do it real simple. After you buy the book, we have a pre-educational seminar I offer 15 minutes. And we go through a quick little test. I ask you a couple questions. And at the end of the 15 minutes, you'll say, wow, where do I stand? Do I automatically qualify for Medicaid? Am I kind of in the middle where I'm going to be yes or no, or I have so much money that I don't have to worry about? So you kind of, after the 15 minutes, depending on what avenue you fall into, and then after what avenue you fall into, you're able to say, okay, what kind of plan do I want to be? Do I want to, number A, self-insure? B, do I want to do something where it's I transfer the money, I get trust, I buy insurance, self-insure? Do I want a complete insurance plan? So what my book basically does when you get all done is, number one, is you're able to say, hey, here's what I can lose. Here are my options. And then you can sit there and talk to your family. Like a central planning option is meeting with your family. Or you can say with your spouse and say, how do we want to do this? So you're healthy. You're making decisions while you're healthy. And you can sit there and look at your four or five options versus you're sitting in the middle of a nursing home and there's only one option, spend out. So that's basically what the book does to go through the initial 50,000 foot overview.
All right. When you say self-insure, how does self-insuring protect me from having to spend all my money before I can get the Medicaid? And then that's the $2,000 is all I'm left with.
That's one of the big problems I'll get to in a second. But the big problem is people don't understand the spend down, and they think everything's a-okay because Bob at the water cooler said, don't worry about it. And your option is the only option you pick is self-insure. And that's what most people end up in the fifth month of the nursing home. Is they realize they've been spending money for the past 3 years and they're like getting near Medicaid. And what can I do to protect this? And the only thing to protect it is, I hate to say it, if you own a time machine, going back in time and talking to yourself. So if you're in your 50s or 60s, and you can sit there and say, what option do I want to protect and preserve my money from Medicaid in a nursing home event? And it's easier to look at it at 50 or 60 versus 5 months into the nursing home when you only have one option to spend down.
Aside from self-insuring, then, what are those options I can choose to do in my 50s and 60s that will prevent me from being reliant on either self-insurance or the Medicaid?
When I did my research, guess what the number one cause of a person losing all their money was?
Gambling? I have no idea.
Nope. Falling.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. Let's say you had longevity in your family and everyone before you had longevity, everybody lived to 120 for the past how long? You're 70 years old. You fall, you break your hip until you look, Heather, you can't come home. You have to stay in a nursing home. So for the next 50 years, you live in a nursing home. So what I found out is if people can take a fall prevention, which is offered by your senior centers, it's a wellness wellness benefit built into your health insurance. There's companies that are now out there that work with your health provider that provide this. And fall prevention is your first line of defense against Medicaid. Because let's say you take the fall prevention, you never fall, and one night you go to weigh and you pass away and you never need care. So that's your first line of defense against Medicaid nursing home, is making sure that you're set up correctly, your house is set up in your environment to reduce that risk of a fall. That's your first line of defense.
What's our second line?
Second line is, I found this out, was people didn't understand the Medicaid spend down or the Medicaid limits. So let's say you go to a nursing home. Someone is not going to knock on the door one day and say, Heather, by the way, you are coming into the threshold limit and Medicaid's going to kick in next month. Oh, okay, thank you. Well, no. So what happens is people understand, I'm using the single person to make it simple for the interview, they're single and married. So what happens is you look at it, you're married in this scenario, and you say, hey, I'm allowed to keep a car, a house, and X amount of money, and I have $400,000 that is on the hook. So then you take a look, and this is where we go on to the stress test, and so you take your $400,000 and say, how much am I going to spend over 5 years that I need to live on? I want some level of care. So let's say you're left with $300,000. Now you have that $300,000 pool of money. You have to have it out of your name for 5 years, and you can't sit there and say, okay, how do I want to do it? Do I want to transfer that risk to buy an insurance policy and transfer it from one bucket to the other bucket? Do I want to buy a traditional long-term care policy where I have a monthly premium? Do I want to put it in a trust where I basically, once I give the money away, I can never get it? Do I want to give it to my kids? Do I want to do a combination? So what you're trying to do is you're trying to decide what is best for Heather. So you are back here in your, you know, 50s and 60s saying, okay, I know that if I need a care does start to go. I have $300,000 at risk. All the rest is the mechanics that I'm going to be using. And you say, I want to use it for my care. So that would be self-insurance. Let's say you say, hey, I've got $300,000. I'm going to take, let's say you take $100,000 of that money. I'm going to transfer that over to a policy where I'm going to buy a pool of money. And if I use it, I'm going to use it on my care. And if I don't use it, it's going to pass to my beneficiaries. Next one will say, oh, look, I don't want to take $100,000. I might take $100 a month. And for the next 10 years, buy a traditional policy. Or you may say, hey, I want to buy a trust. And then there's going to be trust fees. Or I might say, I'm going to put that money and transfer it to my kids. Your kids get the money. It has to be out of your name for 5 years, but your kids can either A, spend the money. They can go bankrupt. They could get divorced. They could have health issues. So what you're able to do is you're sitting back with your pile of money, and you and your spouse or you and your family decide what's best for you, what's best for them, how to have your care. So now you have a plan set up, and then when you start to need some level of care, what you're doing is basically open a file and say, $300,000 needs to protect. We're going to do the trust. We're going to do the transfer. Great. Now, let's say you want to buy a long-term care policy or a hybrid or a life insurance. Those you have to qualify for. So if you are healthy now, this is a great time. But when you decide to open the folder that you have Parkinson's, you're not going to be able to buy the life insurance or the long-term care or the hybrid policies because they require to have good health to get the policy.
What if you have good health now and you buy the policy and then you fall into bad health? Does the insurance company cancel you?
As long as you don't lie on the application, they don't cancel.
All right. This is a good place to take a break. When we come back, we'll go into a few more ways to protect ourselves and anything else we may need to know about. We'll be right back with Les Robinson. He is the author of Protecting Your Money from Medicaid and Nursing Homes. Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we're talking about protecting your money if you are in retirement, if you have fallen, broken your hip, and you need to go into nursing care. Joining me today is Les Robinson. He is the author of Protecting Your Money from Medicaid and Nursing Homes. Les, before we go into a couple of ways that you might be able to protect your money, I wanted to ask, because you teach insurance, and it sounds like you sell insurance as well, is this just an insurance salesman way of saying, like, no, you got to buy insurance with me. You don't want to have anything to do with Medicaid?
No. Basically, what I try to do is educate people when they come to my seminars and classes. I believe if a person is educated, they can make informed decisions. So if you either buy my book, you come to the class or an online, and you can put all the information in front of you, you're able to make an educated decision with you and your spouse or you and your family when you're looking at like your plan of care that you want to put together. So what you do is you put your plan of care together and you decide that you want to go down this route. Everybody's on the same page and it makes things a lot easier, whatever that page is. It could be self-insurance. It could be transferring to a trust. insurance or a combination, but everybody is on the same page and it makes everything just fall into place. 1, 2, 3.
I did want to ask about the trust. If I was to put my money in a trust at 50 or 60 and then I'm 79, I have to go into a nursing home. Can I personally draw money from the trust to help pay for that nursing home care?
I am not a lawyer. I cannot give you legal advice on a trust. Some trusts do have crummy provisions built in and some don't. But if a person who came to me and said, hey, I want to put everything into a trust at 50, I would basically say, here are the drawbacks. Here are the pluses. You decide. And if you really want to go get a trust, then what you would then do is talk to a trust attorney and they would develop a trust and take it from there.
So what are a couple of other ways that we can protect our money from Medicaid and nursing homes?
Real simple is I'm going to use my real life example. In 2019, my wife had back surgery. The day after back surgery, my wife couldn't walk and we got her into a rehab facility. And that night I came home and I was kind of like, well, I sell this. I teach this. I had what I call zero effect. Like this is going to happen tomorrow. My wife doesn't walk tomorrow. We have gone from a planning stage, a plan that we'd set up, to we could be on a live the next day. And I went downstairs and I said, you know, let's look at my book. I went through it 3 times. Everything was protected and preserved. And the next morning I got up and said, so let's say my wife ended up through rehab. So the first thing we did is number one is the plan that we'd put together. We had our money, our assets were protected and preserved from Medicaid or nursing home. Our income was some level of protected. We were not subject to the 5-year look back. We were also with our beneficiary planning was done correctly. We had the power of attorney. Our long-term care plan, my wife and I had sat down and decided this is how we're going to protect and preserve our money. And the 6 working parts was I went through everything by myself that night and realized that everything that we did is we were avoiding the 5-year look back. Our money was protected from Medicaid. We were protected from the nursing home. The house was kind of set up for fall prevention because we'd done some of that. And we had the correct beneficiary planning in. We had the power of attorney. The only thing I had to really worry about was the income limits that I would be required to. But because of the plan, I'm making this real simple. Because of the plan we put in, I had more flexibility, more income than a person who had no plan.
So you didn't just write the book just to write the book. You'd actually already been doing all these steps that you talk about. And that's what helped you when your wife had her surgery.
Correct. I was at the end of the book getting ready to publish it. And I never in my wildest dreams figured my book, I would be, they call patient zero or client zero, that I would be the first person, my wife and I were the first 2 people to use my process. And I can say 100%, everything worked. I had no what ifs, no, there was no scenario. I wouldn't be sitting across from a planner and saying, yeah, of course this is going to work. Now I can sit across from a planner or anybody I talk to and say, I know it can protect and preserve your money from Medicaid in the nursing home.
And the name of that book again is Protecting Your Money from Medicaid and Nursing Home. Where can people find that?
They can find that on Amazon or you can go to my website is lesltc.com and scroll down. So buy book, click on that, and that will take you to the Amazon link.
Great. Is there anything else you want people to know about right now regarding protecting your money?
The best thing to do is understanding your surroundings and be educated. Don't wait to the 5th month in the nursing home, because at the end of the day, the only person who is going to win is the nursing home, because they're going to take all your money for care. And the better you are protected, and the better you have your plan, your personal plan of protection with you and your family understanding everything, is the more money you're going to protect, you're less likely to impoverish your spouse, and you're less likely to destroy your children's retirement.
Thank you so much, Les. I appreciate you educating us and what happens if I actually need to go on to Medicaid.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.